stop persistence as our history is real. A strong will can shine like gold.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. My name is Wayne Bennett, and this is episode 79. And a big shout out to Matt Mullins and the Bring Downs for their intro music. Our guest today has dedicated a large portion of his life coaching and working with youth. And glad to have you, Jim Sears. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Now, I don't know too much about your early life. I know you went to Lincoln School, didn't you?
I did, actually, yes.
I know something you most people don't know. You was a marbles champion, weren't you?
Wow. Yeah. That goes back. I actually was a couple years. Enjoyed it.
People don't realize how big marbles were at that time. George Springer was the sports editor for Beckley Newspapers. And they had a district and state championship and qualified for the nationals and world in New Jersey. And,
absolutely.
And our area was well represented. I mean, we had people from Raleigh County that actually were world champions. And now I wouldn't even know where to go to buy marbles if you want
to. You used to be able to pick up marbles in the grocery store, you know, 100 to a bag, 10 to a bag, however many you wanted. Yeah, you're right. I remember competing against Raymond Jarrell, who went on to win a world championship.
Yeah, Raymond was tough. He did you play any organized sports when you were growing up?
I played Little League. Uh-huh. That was about it. Didn't play organized basketball. It was mostly playground type stuff.
Uh-huh. Who were you remember your coaches from Little League?
Yeah, I sure do. Stephen Modley was one of my coaches, and we called him Mr. Ramsey. I honestly don't know his first name. We just called him Mr. Ramsey or Coach Ramsey. Those were my two coaches the whole way through Little League.
Wow. Did you play Babe Ruth ball?
I did not. After my 12-year-old league, I didn't play Babe Ruth.
Yeah. Now, I know you're a graduate of Woodrow Wilson in 75. You know, I was teaching over there. Yes, then. I could have had you in school. You were lucky you didn't have me.
I remember you well, Coach.
But I spent 4 years over there and coached a couple of years, and then I went to work at the Y. And what about after high school? Did you what did you get into after that?
After high school, I went into getting some training for career vocation. Went to work at Appalachian Hospital for 3 years. And then moved into what ended up being my lifetime career was I went to work for a company that got into energy controls. And between them and the buyout of that company, I worked 42 years in that industry.
Wow.
Yeah, retired last year.
I know when you got into softball, who was the first team you've ever played for, slow pitch?
Oh, it was a team called Beckley Belt back in the early 80s.
I remember that team.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my first time we went to the state tournament in softball was with that Beckley Belt team.
Now, what year would that have been, around 70-something?
It would have been
80-something.
82, I think.
82. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I was thinking you played with Norse Roofing a little bit, too. Did you ever play with them?
Norse Roofing was a team we put together over in a little town called Fireco.
Uh-huh.
We built a softball field over there. And had tournaments and things like that. And Norse Roofing sponsored us for a couple of years. Yeah.
I remember that. I think we played in a I played with some guys in a tournament down there at Fargo one time. And it's kind of weird. People don't realize how big softball was. Almost every little holler had at least one field and tournaments every weekend, different places. And we used to go to Lismore and Clay County and Beards Fork. And I mean, just everywhere. Sometimes it was a little crude too. Some of the fields were pretty rough, you know, but it was fun. And then our league, I mean, we had, did you play in Beckley when we played, or did you start at Fitzpatrick?
I played a little bit at the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
But mostly at Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. When we were down at Fitzpatrick, I mean, we had 30-some teams in the Open League and 16 in the church and the women's and the Industrial League on Sundays. And, I mean, it was a seven-day-a-week avocation there, I guess. But how did you learn to play the game if you hadn't played much after Little League? And you're a pretty daggone good outfielder.
Well, I appreciate that. I was 8 years old when we moved to Beckley. And we had this moved into this big old house on South Kanawha Street where Memorial Baptist Church is now. It had a concrete foundation, but the roof was multi-tiered, and it would slope both directions. And so being the only child there, I would take a tennis ball and throw it on the roof and react to which side of the house it fell off of. And that's how I learned to catch fly balls.
Wow.
So ground balls, I would take that tennis ball and I'd beat it against the concrete and learn how to do ground balls that way. And then I would bounce it and make it hit the wall and that type thing. And then I would hit rocks in the backyard over into the cemetery behind the house.
we used to have a bare spot behind my house when I was growing up, you know, throwing a ball against and throw till dark. You mm-hmm. know, you couldn't throw anymore. My son, oldest son, did the same thing, except our houses are so close together to the neighbors. He actually was standing in a neighbor's yard and throwing up against our house, and he wore a big patch out in the neighbor's yard. And I went over one day and actually was planting some grass and throwing some straw on there and apologized to the neighbor. And he, Sam Vandal was his name. He said, "You need to let that boy practice. Just don't worry about that grass, you know." He was all into it. But now, I know you got 91. You got with that Beckley Toyota. You was with, and that was a pretty good ball club, wasn't it?
That was. I can say it was as good as there was in this area.
Yeah,
we traveled a lot. Won a big championship, a big tournament in Richmond, Virginia. Memorial Day weekend one year that was billed as the largest tournament in the world.
Well, I played in that thing a few times. That was the first time when we went down there that we ever saw where they just used one umpire. Mm-hmm. You know, here in Beckley, we were still using two. And we got down there, and I think it was like 212 teams or something. And, and they just used one umpire, and they were pretty efficient, too. You know, they were trained. And from then on, we brought the idea back here and started doing that. And I think two is better if they're both know what they're doing. But now, when you guys won that tournament.
We did. We did. Yes, sir.
Now, was that a one pitch then, or was it?
No, it was
regular.
How that worked was you had eight teams in pool play in each division. You played seven games in pool play. You played each of the other teams in that pool. And if you won your division or your pool, or you finished second with only one loss, then you advanced to the tournament, which was a double elimination tournament. So, I mean, you played 12, 14 games in one weekend.
Yeah.
And you were all over the place.
And that was a three-day tournament.
That was a three-day tournament. Yes.
Yeah. I remember that day. Every flat piece of ground and every softball field around, they could handle it. I guess they still have that tournament. I don't know what they do.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So you guys won the – who were some of the guys on your team? I know you leave some out, but
– Well, and I'd be afraid to do that, but absolutely. I can probably go around the infield, Gary Muovich, John Chandler, Richie Horton, Mike Horton. Maybe Kevin McGraw was playing with us at that time. I'm not sure.
I think he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Willie Joe Chandler.
Willie Joe had pitched. Been in it for a long time.
Willie Joe, I had an umpire come up to me after a game that Willie Joe had pitched, and we had won. And he came over to me, and this is a guy who's been umpiring that tournament for years. He talked about that's the best pitcher I've ever seen. Willie was in his 60s at that time. Wearing big old thick blue jeans and winter, you know, gloves on his hands.
Rabbit's fur.
Yeah, rabbit fur gloves.
He always had my number, I tell you. He knew what I would go after and what I couldn't hit. And he was something else, quite a competitor. And then, I saw Willie Joe play baseball when he was younger. He could play anywhere. He was a catcher, shortstop, you know, just anywhere. Just this old really good athlete. And back then, what people don't realize, they had a ASA, American Softball Association, and USSSA, which came along a little later. Actually, it was USSSA that started putting people in classes. You know, before, when we played in the ASA, if you had a softball team, you were all in the same class. It was, and most of the time, people didn't mind too bad. But then after a while, when these big teams started recruiting like crazy, and it was always the same teams that won every year, were the ones that came in with the most home run hitters. And so USSSA came in and offered a suggestion that teams would be limited to the number of home run hitters that they could have. And there was A, B, C, D. I think West Virginia, I don't think we had any A teams, I don't think, at that time. But when you competed out of state. But it was a real good idea, and it caught on real well. And I ran the softball league down at Fitzpatrick one year, and things, like I said, were growing. We had some great tournaments and stuff. And then Jeff Graham took it over, and Jeff was the ultimate organizer. And, I mean, we had a Class D state tournament with 60-some teams. We had – I mean, it was unbelievable what was going on there. And I don't know whether you got involved with the – with running tournaments at that time or not, or were you just playing? Or
I ran some tournaments, not at Fitzpatrick, but I ran some tournaments at other places and played at the same time. Yeah.
Did you ever play out Beckley Manufacturing?
I did, John Ifield.
Yeah,
sure did.
Yeah. I had a bunch of tournaments out there, and then we had some over at Pinecrest at the, what they called Casino Stadium at that time, but it was kind of hard to get that feel. Then 95, you played with the Justices.
I did.
Mm-hmm. And you guys had won the state championship.
We won the state championship that year. Yeah. In Martinsburg, I believe.
Yeah. How'd you put up with Doug, Timmy, and Bo?
Thankfully, I had Doug to control Bo. So. And Timmy was like, he was the calmness of them all.
Competitors.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Competitors, but they were just coming into playing that level of softball.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had some guys off the Toyota team that, you know, had quit playing or whatever, and we tried to keep it rolling, keep some younger guys in, and they had a connection with Mike Horton, and that's how, you know, we brought them in. But ultra competitive.
Now, did Dana Thomas play with that team or the one before?
Actually came, it would have been before that team.
Okay, 91.
Yeah.
Because he was playing with us at Superior Furniture when I played. And he could crush a ball.
I saw Dana. We were on the same team. We played in Charleston, and it was an unlimited tournament. Dana hit 4 home runs and a double in that game. And I don't mean they squeaked over the fence either. Dana was awesome.
And the bad part about it, every once in a while, he'd hit a line drive back at the pitcher. And my gosh, it was dangerous. I mean, I don't know how in the world somebody could get out of the way of one of his shots. And great guy.
Oh, great guy. Super
excellent,
guy.
Excellent teacher.
Just a real, real great guy.
Now you got out of softball when your had a daughter that started playing softball around.
Yeah, my oldest daughter played Little League and played through her first year of high school at Woodrow, and then blew her knee out in a track meet. She was running track over at Indy and blew her knee out, and that was the end of her softball career. But that's what got me back into coaching, was I coached. Uh-huh. I coached her.
And you guys won state championship in the 15 and 16-year-old age group, I think.
We did in softball in Rebecca Little League. I was privileged to be able to be the coach of that team and have my daughter on it. It was very special.
Now, were you coaching your son in Little League baseball at the same time, too?
No, that came just a few years later. I coached my daughter, and we won that state in 99. And then I took a break, because at that time, 16 was as far as you could play in Little League. That's as old as you could go. Later on, they added an 18-year-old division, but at that time, that was it. So then I just took a couple years off from coaching, and then when my son got to the point, he showed an interest in playing, and that's something I've never done, is push my kids toward anything.
Yeah.
I offered it.
Yeah.
And if they wanted to play, then they played, and if they asked me to coach, then I would coach, but I never went down that road intentionally.
How many kids do you have?
I have three now.
You have three?
And I'm privileged to be coaching my third one right now. So
really?
Yeah, she's 11 and playing softball and volleyball. And
wow.
We've had a volleyball match this past weekend down at Liberty. So
now, where does she go to school?
She goes to Beckley Stratton.
Okay.
Yeah. And my oldest daughter's actually one of her teachers, so it's sweet.
Oh, wow. You got connected with Shady Spring High School baseball somewhere, or you were volunteer at Shady. How did that work out?
Well, we moved to Daniels from Beckley in 2000, and then my son played out there, and then he made the high school team. So, I got connected with Coach Shaw there by just going to the games and things like that. And then after my son's freshman year, Coach Shaw asked if I would coach his summer team with Rod Shaw.
Uh-huh.
So we coached his summer team for him. The coaches are allowed that 3-week period. Then after that, they can't touch the kids. So I coached the summer team with him, or for him. And then 2 years later, he asked me to join the staff.
How long were you there?
9 seasons.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you quit there?
It would have been 6 years ago when my youngest daughter came to me and said, "Dad, I want to play ball." So I started all over with T-ball.
But you actually helped coach the guy who's the coach now, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
So I coached the outfield when I was at the high school. And Jordan was my center fielder, and was real happy when he got that job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a few conversations with him since then and met with him a couple times. Real proud of him.
I remember seeing one time they were having a clinic. Might have been that place down at Raleigh where they used to have baseball and softball instruction, and that you were one of the speakers, and the subject you were talking about was hitting the cutoff man, importance of hitting the cutoff man, which is outfielders and infielders ought to appreciate that. Some people don't, but that's a key to the ball game if you watch the pros. But but you're a Yankee fan, aren't you?
I am a Yankee fan. Absolutely.
Well, we'll let you in the house.
I was up late last night watching them. I didn't get to see the game live, so I watch it at the end of the day on tape delays. So.
I used to be a Yankee fan back in the old days, and I've kind of moved around, but then I've always been a Senator and a Cincinnati Red fan, and of course the Senators become the Nationals, and the Nationals won the World Series in 2019 and haven't done anything since. They're at the bottom of the league now, but you got to stay with them. And what is your title at Beckley Little League?
Director of Operations.
Director of Operations. Yes. How did you get stuck with that? And I don't mean stuck.
Probably would have to go back to the late 70s when I first started coaching Little League before I had kids. I worked with a gentleman at Appalachian Hospital who was coaching the team, and he asked me to help him. And so I did. I love baseball. I love being around kids and stuff like that. I didn't have any of my own at the time. So I helped him, and then not knowing, but his son moved up to the next division after that 1 year, and I was with the team that we coached. So. Uh-huh. Anyway, there was a kid on that team named Ricky Ball, and his dad was Mo Ball, and that's how I got the connection over the years. Well, Mo and Jim Justice, Mo worked for Jim Justice, and then Jim took over as president of Beckley Little League in 92, I think it was. About 2006, I think, somewhere in that time frame, Mo came to me and asked me if I would run the softball division, which I did, because Mr. Justice was doing other things. And so I did that for a while. And then the year before COVID hit, he came to me and asked me if I would handle a draft for him. He didn't have anybody do a draft. You know, my daughter had started playing again, so I was back at Beckley Little League. My daughter was playing, and Mo asked me if I'd run that draft for him, and ended up, he couldn't get anybody to take the division, so I ran the division. Next thing I know, I'm running the league. So, you know,
that's how that
works. You're right, and well, I love it.
Well, you know, the Beckley Little League, they started the at the Dust Bowl back in the old, in the early 50s.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And Howard Mullahan and Chuck Littlejohn can tell you a lot about that. They played during that time. And then they moved, they left the Dust Bowl because the Dust Bowl was used for other leagues too. And they moved over your site now, and the Elks Club ran it. Now, I don't know who actually owns the field and stuff now, but the Elks Club, there is no Elks Club anymore. And sadly, during the late 50s and 60s, even though we had Brown versus Board of Education, they didn't allow blacks to play. The black kids could not play there. And if black kids could play at Stanford Little League, and they could play at Sophia. But I don't know what the reasoning was or whatever. But actually, Beckley Little League was one of the last leagues to start allowing blacks to play. And but guys at my age, like Chubby Hughes and some of them, had to go to Sophia to play baseball down there. And they could come back and play Babe Ruth ball, but they couldn't play at Elks Little League. Now, I grew up across the street from Beckley Little League, so I stayed over there all the time. And it used to be a real simple organization. The guys who fixed the fields up and even did a lot of the umpiring was old coaches like Vic Pelish and Pete Colasurto, Chuck Akers, Ross Hutchins, all of them. Those were summer jobs for coaches. And they would come out there and mow the grass, line the fields, and even umpire some. And just like you, but not as long as you did, I've coached a couple of years in Little League when my son was coming through. And then we would, if we played the first game, the coaches would have to umpire the second game. Is that the way they do it still yet?
No, we actually pay umpires now. It's real tough to get umpires.
Yeah.
But that used to be the way it was. And then it got to the point because so many kids playing so many sports now. It used to be if you played, you know, it was baseball or basketball. You know, some played multiple sports. But as it got to the point where kids were playing multiple sports, these guys that were coaching were also having to take their kids to another sport after that game or whatever. And it got to the point where you couldn't rely on them to coach an umpire.
Yeah.
They would play their game, and then they would leave. And it got to the point where we wouldn't have umpires and we wouldn't get notice and stuff like that. So we went to the point where we started paying umpires and relieved the coaches of that duty. Because, I mean, you ask the coaches to do so much now anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they're involved in everything, and we tried to just make it a little easy on them.
So yeah.
We went to the paying umpires just behind the plate.
Now, that was but they didn't – when I coached, they didn't have the girls softball, didn't have T-ball. Or anything like that. I think they had in the major division had six in one east and six in the west, and then about the same in the minor leagues that they had. But living just across the street from it in the 50s and 60s, of course, we spent a lot of time over there. Our neighborhood of boys, we played a lot of ball. Anytime the field was open, we played. But I can remember when Beckley Little League closed down for a week or so because somebody said they saw black widow spiders. So they shut the whole, back then, I've never seen a black widow spider, but somebody reported that. And so they came in looking for them. And so the league was stopped for a couple years. And for many years, they started the first games on Mother's Day. I don't know whether you were involved at that time.
Absolutely, yeah.
And many complaints about that because, gee whiz, Mother's Day. But now you guys start a lot earlier, don't you?
Yeah, we started, after I came back, I started moving it up. So we started the first weekend in April this year.
Wow. Yeah. That's good. Well, how do you finance the league? I mean, the kids don't pay to play, do they?
The kids don't play or pay to play. I think we're the only league in the state that doesn't charge. So we rely on vendors, you know, to buy some signs. We ask each team to raise $200, you know, before the season starts to get us going. We have some outside fundraisers, you know, bingo and cash club at the Moose Club and things like that.
They still have that cash club?
Didn't have it this past year because of the COVID thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we still have it.
And, I used to go down in January
this year.
Yeah, when Gary Poling was involved some, and we probably went down there 5 or 6 years, I guess. And but I knew they had shut down from COVID. Well, that's great because I know some of the leagues that do charge have kind of scholarship type things, but it'd be hard for, I came from a single parent home with mother didn't make very much money. It'd been hard for me to play ball if they would have charged at that time. So, but you got almost 800 kids playing all the leagues.
Well, we have 800 now because of, Shady coming over, Shady Little League coming over and playing in our place.
They lost their fields.
They lost their fields. Now, that 800 includes those players, and they do have to charge for theirs. But Beckley has like 500 that we don't charge.
Who schedules all these? How does that work?
Well, we get all the information together and then spit it into the computer, and, you know, it spits out the schedule. And I tell it, you know, how many fields we have and how many teams in each division and, you know, that thing. So we rely on that.
You say you pay the umpires. What about scorekeepers?
Scorekeepers, we ask the home team of each game to supply a scorekeeper.
Yeah, so, yeah. What's the biggest problem that Beckley Little League faces right now
Lack of volunteers.
I understand that.
Lack of volunteers.
I know at one time there was some thinking about going somewhere else and making a bigger complex, but it would involve severe fundraising and almost impossible during that period of time. And is there still any ideas or any discussion of expanding or?
There's some discussion going on at the moment about building a complex over at the soccer field area.
Yeah.
I don't know the details of it. I've just been, you know, given some summary information.
But, yeah. Is there any room behind the three fields, the three baseball fields, any room to expand down towards Pinecrest?
Well, we're down all the way. We've added a fourth field down there now.
So have you?
Four fields there and then the T-ball field. I mean, there's area down there. It's real swampy. You'd have to get probably some DNR release and, you know, how long that could take. So
yeah.
There's room out as you drive into the complex. There's room out to the left, over toward the old state police barracks and things like that. So there's been some comment about maybe doing something there, but it does require some major funding.
Yeah. No, that's almost like a full time job for you.
It's you know, I've been fortunate. I say lack of volunteers, but I've been fortunate to be able to work with some people, men and women both, that are there for the right reasons and help on the coaching aspect, and then they'll help in other ways too. But I mean, they're limited. You know, they work a 9-to-5 job and things like that, and they have kids doing other things as well. So, and then we started a fall ball program last year. With Shady Little League, because they did lose their fields, and they used fall ball to raise funds to pay their charter. So we got together and formed a fall ball league, and it was ultra ultra successful. The first year we had over 300 kids in fall ball. And Jeremy Winnell is president of Shady Little League, and he's been a driving force with that to get the two leagues together. And then we play, you know, spring ball together.
Do you have a board of directors in each league, like softball league and baseball league, or do you have a board of directors?
We have a board of directors over the whole league, and then I appoint a division head. Little League calls them player agents. I call them division heads. So I'll get somebody to run T-ball and coach pitch, which is the, you know, the 7-8 year old league, and then I'll have somebody that's that kind of runs baseball, and then somebody that runs softball, you know, that kind of does that for me.
Yeah.
Now, usually I do the baseball as well as director of operations. So I like to keep my hands involved in that.
How long do you plan on doing this?
I guess as long as my daughter will allow me, my youngest daughter will allow me to do that and coach her. If she would come to me today and say, I want you to coach me full time, then that would be the end of it.
Yeah.
And the people know that. I mean, they're well aware that she comes first.
Now, I can remember when even Bull Parker and Mike Darnell and some of them guys used to work down there. And do you have somebody full time taking care of the fields and mowing and lining? And
well, the lining is either me or Jeremy for fall ball. Mostly Jeremy this year, me last year. We have some people that cut the grass, you know, during the spring and through the fall. And we just get volunteers to come out and do what they can as far as getting the fields ready.
Wow. Well, I commend you. That's a big undertaking, and I'm glad that I know the Little League's in good hands with you. And
well, I appreciate that.
I would kind of like to see a bigger facility somewhere, but, you know, it's hard to raise money nowadays. And I know West Virginia Tech is putting in a baseball field out there somewhere by the soccer fields and a football field, from my understanding. And I don't know exactly where that's going to take place, but you never know. Somebody might drop a few million on you guys and something you can put in. There's some great complexes out there, but how would you like to be remembered, Jim?
Ooh, wow.
That's one of them.
Wow. Just as a friend.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Jim, our time's about up, and I appreciate you coming and talking to me, and we need some more Jim Sears out there. Yeah. And keep on doing what you're doing. Appreciate it. Anybody else out there who wants to be on our program, just hit me up at awbennett50@gmail.com, and we'll get you on here. And remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. This is Wayne Bennett, and God bless you.